stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 86 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you have not gone to the South Harmon website, you need to go do that. Go to southharmonff.com and check out all the amazing things that we have there. We have the warp tool, we have the simulator, which can, both of those can be used right now as your in your week 14 matchups to figure out what's my chance of actually making the playoffs. Do I need to make some trades in order to solidify this first round bye? Do I need to make trades in order to solidify even just getting into the playoffs? All those sorts of things. So go to southharmonff.com in order to check that out. Today's episode topic, I want to talk about something that I learned about earlier this week. And it's the Dynasty Dealmaker report card. So it's hosted on dynastydealmaker.com. I have zero affiliation with the site. I just find that it's really, really cool. And so I want people to go and check it out. And what I want to do is talk through some of what I have seen from my account and also from looking at a couple other people's accounts and how you can try and use this in order to help you understand how you play as a dynasty manager. So if you want to go check it out, it's dynastydealmaker.com/report-card. All you do is you go in, you input your username, and then you select a couple settings. Now, if you have a bunch of Superflex leagues versus 1QB leagues, it's going to be a little bit harder to use something like this because you do need to choose your settings for all of your leagues all at once. But what its goal is to do is to look at all the trades that you have done and look at them with hindsight being 2020. What is the value you got out of these trades? And are you a good trader? What trades have you done well on? Which ones have you done poorly on? Is there a certain manager that you're better against? Is there a certain time of year that you're better at? That's what you're able to use this tool for. So it's going back and giving you a report card on how good of a trader are you? Are you able to properly take advantage of the opportunities presented to you? And it's really, really important, I think, to do something like this and go through and make sure, hey, I am in fact making good trades. I'm not hemorrhaging value or hemorrhaging points by potentially forcing trades where they don't need to be done. So by utilizing something like this, I think it's very important for anybody who's serious about making sure that, you know, they're a good dynasty manager. So what you can do with this tool is after you go through, for myself, as an example, I have 645 trades analyzed across 4 years, 2022 through 2025. And with hindsight, my net value gained, it tells you right at the top, so my net value gained is 250,000 KTC points. So something like that isn't really useful without context. So flipping over to Dynasty Daddy and looking at my portfolio, my entire portfolio right now is worth a total of 4,090,825 keep trade cut points. So comparing this number to that, it means that 6% of my entire portfolio's value has come solely off of good trades that I've made. I'm able to directly correlate that with what percentage has been me drafting players properly, which theoretically, if you draft players properly over time, I mean, that would, you would think that's 100% of the value of your portfolio. And if every trade that you make is even and fair, that means that 0% is attributable to your trades and the 100% is the players that you drafted. Well, in this case, I'm able to directly correlate 6% of all of my value directly to trades that I have made. That tells me that I am a good trader in terms of getting value out of the trades that I'm making. It's this overall kind of insight that is something that is making me very interested in potentially coming up with a tool similar to this that tells you where your value comes from on your team and where your team is, where your ability as a manager is improving or potentially getting worse based on the actions that you take. Are you really good at hitting the waiver wire? Are you really good at drafting? Are you really good at trading? Those kinds of things can help you understand your strengths as a manager and what you should be doing to effectively manage your teams. It also shows how the ability to do a large volume of trades is very impactful. So that 6% that I'm talking about, that comes off of a total of 645 trades. Only 53% of those trades do I actually win the trade when looking in hindsight. Most of the trades that I make, like, they're 50-50. In terms of who the winner is, it could go either way. So when you're looking at things like that, you realize that if I just need to win a little bit more than I lose, in my case, win rate of 53%, like that's basically even. However, because I have done so many trades, that is why I am at the point now where I have this huge bonus out of them. And I know this. I am somebody who tries to volume trade. I try to trade a ton. I am somebody who is trying to make multiple trades per week across all my leagues. And as even in the off season, I'm still grinding, still trying to find those trades, make sure that everybody knows that I'm available. And during the season, auto accept trade blocks, spamming trades, looking to see who's saying in chat, hey, I'm looking for an extra wide receiver or I'm looking for a quarterback. I don't care how bad my players are that they're looking for. I still at least reach out to them and say, hey, I've got this guy. Are you interested? And the reason is because I'm just trying to get as many trades as I can done. And I'm particular in what I get back. I make sure that it's something that I feel confident in. And apparently my confidence rating is 53% over time. Like, that's how much more accurate I am. And you know what? 53%? Better than 50. I'm doing better than just flipping a coin every single time. So that's the kind of thing that I know, hey, I have the right idea. I need to keep doing this. The next thing to pay attention to is your trading journey. One thing I note about this is that it shows you what times of year are good for you, which times of year are poor. So what I've noticed when looking at mine is that I have a strength at two different times of the year. The first one is right when you get to playoffs and like through playoffs. Like, I am very good at taking advantage of those teams, especially with those no trade deadline leagues, and getting that long-term impact because I'm out there essentially volume trading with these contenders, getting their injured guys, sending them guys who are playing, so that way they can try and compete for their championship. In reality, this is kind of a win-win scenario where those teams, if they win their championship, they don't care about losing long-term value. The small amount of value that they would lose is nothing compared to the payout of actually winning the league. So it's kind of a win-win scenario. If I'm not there, then I'm doing great. And if they are there, they're also doing great. Just a tool like this is going to show that I'm coming out on top. So that is one thing to look out for. If when you're looking at your individual trades later on in this tool, you need to keep that in mind of like, it doesn't have the context of, did you win your league or not? Was this the proper thing that you needed to do? And the other thing that I noticed was that the time of year that I really struggle with in terms of trading is right after the season, basically up until the draft, until the NFL draft. Once the NFL draft happens and you start in that lead up to the season, I do actually really, really good. That's where I got a ton of value in 2024, making trades at that point in the year. But also, that lead up to that 2024 draft, I basically removed all the advantage that I had gotten in 2022 and 2023. In 2024, I removed some of my advantage, or in 2025, I removed some of my advantage I'd gotten from 2024, but then picked right back up, and as the season got closer, I really started to gain more value again. So it's just one of those things where over time, what has happened for me is that there's a time of year that, you know what, I should just take a step away from Dynasty for a little bit. Like a lot of people go dark that January through April timeframe. And in terms of for me, that January to April timeframe is something that I don't trade near as well then. So rather than trying to force it, I should probably just start to sit pat a little bit more. And then continue to be aggressive after the NFL draft, after the rookie drafts happen, or during the rookie drafts, and be able to actually leverage the ability that I have in that time of the year. So that's something that's very important to me, of wanting to make sure that, hey, I'm getting the value out of all of these trades and staying away from my bad ones. And it's pretty clear time of year wise what I need to do there. The next thing to look at is trading partners. So it tells you who your best mark is, so who you've gotten the most value out of trades against, and then also who your nemesis is, who it is that has gotten the best trades against you. And whether I do it with looking at putting the value for the picks drafted as the actual player or as a placeholder pick value, in both instances, my nemesis is Mike from here at South Harmon. And so what I know from that is that, hey, Mike's got my number. And realistically, Mike has a lot of people's numbers. If you look at his profile, he's really, really good on this report card. And so him being my nemesis, it also makes sense. We have the most leagues together out of anybody in my portfolio. And so as a result, I'm going to have a lot of trades. And I just know that he is a better trader than I am. So when I'm looking at somebody like him, I'm going to make a trade with him if it's has a little bit more of that mutual beneficiary to it. So like I am competing and he's not, or he's competing and I'm not. And yeah, whoever's competing is getting those old assets that a year from now won't be worth anything. And whoever's not competing is getting those assets that will hold value for a couple of years. Those are the kinds of things that I need to do with him. But if we're trying to do some like swap around a couple players trades and things like that, he's a better player evaluator than I am. And I already kind of knew that, but this is helping to confirm that belief. As for the people that are my best marks, I mean, depending on how I look at it, it's either Bad Mood Rising, it's either B-Hall 7, T-Rock. If I'm looking at all of those guys, it's hard to say, hey, I want to try and take advantage of them more, because some of it just comes out to, hey, bad bets. Like, looking at some of the trades that I did with T-Rock, it's just the fact that I've done 11 trades with T-Rock, and it's just accumulated over time. Same thing with B-Hall. Like, and it's been a lot of auto-accept style things where he put up an auto-accept, and I liked his auto-accept, and then I happened to come out on top. But it's because I'm very particular in what I'm willing to do. It was somebody that he wasn't willing to do, and if it was somebody that he was putting up on that auto-accept trade block, and I didn't like the price, nothing came out of it. There was no trade that, like, is something that he could have won. And so it's that sort of thing where there's not as much that I want to try to do from that perspective of taking advantage of my marks. The last thing to pay attention with this tool is a little bit of how it works that you can see from looking at the individual trades towards the end of this. So you see your best trade and your worst trade on here. And one thing to note is that the values are kind of a little bit messed up in terms of where they were in the old range, especially when it comes to draft picks. Like, draft picks just have a placeholder value, and then they change based on how that player did once they got drafted and over time, that kind of stuff. And so when you're looking at things like that, it does give a little bit of perspective of you've lost some of the idea of why the trade happened. And so there is some things that I want to look through when I'm looking through this and see, like, okay, what were the circumstances around this trade? So for example, my worst trade when looking at just placeholder pick values, I gave up Drew Ogletree and a 24 first, a 24 third, and a 25 second. And I got Latavius Murray, Austin Eckler, and Logan Thomas. However, the context isn't there for this trade. The context is that this happened in November of 2023. I had a team that was on the path to making the playoffs, but I needed to make sure that I solidified my second round bye. Right at the end of the season, when our trade deadline was coming up, I ended up trading for Latavius Murray, Logan Thomas, and Austin Eckler because I needed some players who were going to give me some points. And I ended up getting those points out of those guys. Not only did I get myself a first round bye, it rolled into finishing second in the league. I did end up losing in the championship game. But it was having those players that kind of helped propel me forward a little bit. And that trade, in hindsight, was worth the shot of trying to get that first place overall result. So, yeah, it was the quote-unquote worst trade, hindsight being 2020. But at the time, it was a good bet. So it's important to keep that in mind when looking at these individual trades, is you've lost your context. Now, overall, hopefully you are gaining value in your portfolio, but also know that all those trades that you've made for really old players, or say you needed a spot start backup, well, every single spot start backup trade, probably not going to look good in hindsight, because you're spending a third round pick that has some value. You got a backup player. You got to start out of them for a week or two. And 2-3 years later, they've probably washed away. They have less value than a third round pick at this point. And so as a result, it's going to say you lost that trade. But in reality, you probably won it. And so that's something that I want to look at for this is, is there a way that I could potentially create something, combine it with the value of rookie picks that I include in Warp, and evaluate trades that way? I think there's a lot of potential in something like that. And I think there's a lot of potential in being able to have different perspectives on your hindsight of whether you won or lost a trade. So that's everything that I have for this main topic. You should absolutely go check out this tool, dynastydealmaker.com/report-card, and run the analysis for yourself. Take a look at what is it that it grades you. Is there anything that you should be paying attention of? And really just allow it to distill some data for you. And even if you don't get much of anything out of it, at least know that you have something like this that you can use to try and get some kind of value out of understanding how you play as a dynasty manager. Continuing on towards the rest of the stuff that I want to cover this podcast, I don't have any spam trades for this week because I don't think week 14 is the week that you should be spamming trades. Instead, week 14 is the week that you should be focusing on trying to make sure you get players to the teams that need them. The teams that need to win this matchup, focus on looking at those teams specifically and trying to offer them players that you think are going to be most useful to them in their lineups. Same thing goes with teams that are trying to fight for a first-round bye, look like they already have one and have a trade deadline, so they need to be prepped for playoffs, those sorts of things. And make sure that you're paying attention to the injury reports. If you have a trade deadline of week 14, which I know a few of my leagues have this, you can trade up to the last snap of the Monday night game. That means that you need to be paying attention to, hey, all those players that get injured on Sunday, because we know there will be some. Those are guys that if you have them on your contender, you want to get rid of them quickly. If you don't have them, you can try and get them off of the contenders and give them a piece that can help them out. Win-win kind of thing. But you need to be ready to go between Sunday and Monday in order to get that done. And if anybody goes down with an injury in the Monday night game, take your best guess at whether they're going to miss multiple weeks. And if you think they are, then you might need to make a move there as well. Lastly, for this week, I need to talk about the tight ends don't matter. I would have continued with Brock Wright. However, he got put on IR before the Thursday night game this week. And while I could have gone with another Detroit tight end, I decided that I need to switch it up. And also, I'm recording this after that game to begin with. And so, to switch it up, I am going with Ian Thomas. Ian Thomas, he's been doing well. Michael Mayer is out once again. And Ian Thomas has been doing pretty well even with Brock Bowers in there. So, I'm going to go with Ian Thomas this week. Hopefully he repeats what he did last week. Like last week, he got 4 for 36. Like, that's pretty good. And so I want to hopefully see him do more again this week. We're reaching towards the end of the season, after which I can do a full tight ends don't matter recap, and we can see how I did this season. Make sure you're out there checking out everything we have over at South Harmon. You can check out the stuff on the YouTube channels. You can check out the stuff on this podcast feed. Basically, listen to all the other content creators here. If you're only listening to me, I know you're missing out on lots of really, really good content. As always, that's everything that I have for this week. And make sure you stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.